Please be seated. As you may have gathered, I came down with a cold a couple nights ago, so Janice is going to be handling Eucharist so that I'm not spreading my germs among you. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. I frequently get up in the middle of the night and wander around. Sometimes I have to use the bathroom. Sometimes I'm thirsty. Sometimes I'm hungry. Sometimes I just wake up and can't get back to sleep. So I assume that God wants me to pray for someone. I start praying, and after I've gone through everyone that I can think of, I'm confident that I'm confident I've been led to pray for everything I'm supposed to pray for or the right people. Then I'll try to go back to sleep again. And if I still can't go back to sleep, I often get out of bed and read or write or do something else until I'm tired again. As I walk around in the dark, I have a certain level of confidence that I can navigate the obstacles in each room without turning on any lights. In my sleepy state, I maintain proudly that I don't need light to find my way around. My toes and shins bear witness to the fact that this level of confidence is completely unfounded. Having years of practice under my belt, I can freeze in any posture after knocking over an end table or a candlestick, and nobody in the house even suspects that I'm awake. My ability to scream silently at a toe nearly broken against the corner of a cedar chest is evidence of my years of extensive stealth training. I firmly believe that I'm the next 007, able to move comfortably in the dark, even though I was not designed to do that. None of us are designed to do that. We think our eyes adjust to the dark, but they never adjust well enough. We are not owls. Well, this is the world that Jesus comes to. He enters a world peopled by millions of 007s in training. We are a world of people walking in the dark who think we are good at walking in the dark when in fact we stink at it. Jesus comes to a world of people silently jumping up and down on one leg, proudly holding their broken toes and bruised shins, and still refusing to turn on the lights. Why? In the beginning, God saw there was darkness. But God did not arrogantly decide to spend eternity stumbling through the universe on a journey of self-abuse, tripping over dark planets and getting sucked into black holes by mistake. No, God knew that he was going to create a being in his image, a being that would need light to get around, a being for whom light would be so important that it would become a metaphor for the ability to see and understand anything and everything. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This light is a part of the Word. God, as the Word, gives structure and meaning and placement to all that is. God speaks things into existence. God speaks everything into existence. And there is light, and there is life. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God does not exist dynamically without speaking. We may not always hear God speaking, and because of that, we often think God is silent, but our own inability to hear does not mean that God is not constantly speaking. The Word is God speaking, God's loving, God's saving. It is God putting out there God's mind and heart. The reality that is alive in God's mind, in his universe of love, so that he can relate to it, so that he can relate to us as something other than himself. God externalizes everything that God has imagined so that it becomes real outside of himself, and then he can relate to it. When babies are born, they are not a mere extension of their mothers. They are new and different beings to whom the new mother must relate. Well, God wants to relate to something other than himself in love as well. And so God speaks the created order into existence. We are created in God's image. We also have the power to speak things into existence to an extent. But we, God's creation, in our sinful ignorance, do not recognize our own needs. Call it pride or call it ignorance. We just keep on stumbling around in the dark without doing what is best for us, without simply turning the lights on. God, therefore, does what is best for us. And on our behalf, he speaks light into our lives. God knows his word should not be just some hovering creative potential like your philosophy professor might talk about. It should come to life in a way that is best for God's people, for us, to transform us into the people who see that we need light. So the word becomes flesh fully in Jesus. God speaking and acting becomes a person. What has come into being in him is life, and the life is the light of all people. But we do not know him who wants to give us light. We do not even know that we do not know him. Many of us believe that there's no good reason to know him, but this is just because our ignorance is so great. He came to those who were his own, and even his own did not accept him. People living in ignorance are almost always unaware that they are living in ignorance, but ours is a different kind of ignorance. The thing we do not know is not a simple fact that we can just learn. It's a person that we need to know, that we need to relate to. Knowledge of a person is different than knowledge of a fact because you can never know a person completely. People are deep. We know other people only through relationships and exposure to them over time, a little bit at a time. The interior of a person goes on forever, unlike a fact. The interior of the person of God goes on forever too. His coming, the coming of the Word, the coming of the light, suddenly makes clear the fact that we dwell in darkness, because the presence of the Word changes the appearance of everything. God's brightness dispels complete darkness. Shadows are cast by the light because of obstacles to light that stand tall in our own lives. So I ask you, what things cast shadows in your life? What darkness does the coming of the light suddenly make you aware of? Without light, we cannot even be aware that we are in darkness, or that darkness is in us. When I used to be a contractor, we would take a light and look at a wall that seemed to be perfectly smooth and wonderfully finished, but we would move that light directly to the wall and shine it along the wall, and wherever there were shadows being cast, then we could correct those issues. You don't normally see those. It's often said that people have a God-shaped hole, that nothing can fill that hole but God. We try to fill our God-shaped holes with all kinds of things: careers, houses, cars, spouses, children, education, public service, self-indulgence. But all of these things are the wrong shape for that hole. Nothing can fill that hole except God. I think people are made aware of their God-shaped hole by the presence of the Word that can, in fact, fill it. There's an irony here. The light reveals our God-shaped hole, but filling it with God, for those of us who really want it to be full, just makes it bigger. I know this is true for me. Because the more we know God, the more we know that we do not know. Our God-shaped holes are naturally hungry for fulfillment. We need constantly to know God more deeply. Every discovery made by exposure of our darkness to the light of God, the Word, leads to further knowledge of our increasing need for him. And so the hole grows. We all need to understand that we are needy. Knowing God allows us to see just how needy we really are. But we can't force others to see how needy they are. So how do we spread the light? Well, I think we do it by enjoying being clothed with salvation. As God pours light over us, it covers us with a garment of righteousness, he says. Does our God-shaped hole go away? No, but when others look at our lives, they see a garment of light instead of a hole. Our power to become children of God is attractive to others who also have holes in their lives. The Word of God, the Son of God, the light that is coming into the world, has caused us to be adopted as his sisters and brothers. The garment of light that we are given to wear is the garment of God's household. It bears his seal, and it testifies to the fact that we are now God's children. God's children are clothed with a garment of praise, a garment of thanksgiving, a garment of the household of God. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Because we are children of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father, in every Eucharistic feast. To all who receive him, who believe on his name, he gives power to become children of God. So I guess I want to ask myself this morning, and I hope we would all ask the same question, what have we done that resembles what John knew he had to do? Have we done what John calls us to do this morning? Have we allowed Jesus to come to his own? John says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. His own did not know him. Have we really received him? Have I made Jesus welcome in my own life, or have I treated him as a stranger? Perhaps I make him welcome sometimes, and at other times I treat him as a stranger. I think this is probably true. Yet Jesus has made us his brothers and sisters, in spite of ourselves. And we who believe on his name actually receive that name. We become adopted into a new family, ourselves. God changes our names because we have believed in his. We are now called by his name. I am no longer merely Gregory or Gregory Wildy. Now I am Gregory, child of God, Gregory Christian, Gregory member of Christ. All other names by which I may be known are unimportant. And the same is true of all of us baptized into Christ and made his own. This is day 5 of the 12 days of Christmas this year. During this season in which we celebrate the incarnation in Christ, let us celebrate also the incarnation of God in us. We are called by a new name, and we can call God Abba, Father, legitimately, even as Jesus does. Let us all stop stumbling around in the dark and let the light of Christ penetrate every corner of our lives, so that the garment of salvation we may wear shine into so that the garment of salvation we wear may shine into the lives and hearts of those around us. At Christmas we celebrate that God has a child, but in fact God has children, and we are his children. We are born at Christmas too. If children, then also heirs. God clothed us, his children, with the clothing of the household of the King of the universe. And like any father or mother, he gives us his name. That name which is above all names. The name of his Son, Jesus. We are now children of God, and we are marked with light. Marked by the light of the world. Marked as Christ's own forever. As we look in the mirror every morning this season, let us give thanks that we have been marked with light. Let us give thanks that the light of God has come into the world, that we have seen his glory, and that some of that glory shines in us and through us.